it is time now for History Matters, and with History Matters, we turn to the one historian who matters, Mr. Scott Washington. How are you?
Good, Aaron. Well, it's delightful to be here, and of course, since this show is streamed over the internet, it gives a new meaning to what the word local is. Like, is it that the planet Earth, or...
Yeah, right?
Well,
the story that I always tell, and hello to my parents who might be listening to this live in Michigan right now, speaking of streaming live, but the story that I always tell when I teach American government, and one of my favorite stories to tell about the Constitution is that the convention in Philadelphia got underway in May of 1787, a couple weeks later than it was originally supposed to. When it was going to convene, they didn't have a quorum. They didn't have a quorum until the New Hampshire delegation arrived. Part of that was because New Hampshire didn't really feel like sending delegates, and they didn't get around to it until late. But then it took the delegation 2 weeks to get from New Hampshire to Philadelphia, which is what, like a 4-hour drive now, if even 3 hours, something like that. It took them 2 weeks just because of the way that travel and transportation was in 1787. You can get to the moon and back in half that time today. So the world in 1787 was just so colossally large in a way that we can't even begin to conceive of today. Yes. And that's something that we think about when we think about, oh, what did the framers think? Well, they thought it in a very different world.
Well, and that communication going on across the colonies throughout the Revolutionary War period, where people are traversing great distances, even to get to Philadelphia for the Continental Congress, is kind of amazing. Of course, in the case of the Constitutional Convention, the idea was, well, we're just going to modify the Articles of Confederation.
Right.
No, and then instead, George Washington says, no press, and they change everything.
No press, lock the doors. We're just going to change everything around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's appropriate you mentioned about the space program, because this week marks Space Week, International Space Week, which is a big deal.
Yes.
So that seems very appropriate that you would mention to the moon and back. Any day that I can mention, let's see, Groucho Marx, Mahatma Gandhi, Elvis, and King Richard III.
There
is
are
always
a lot
a good...
of really cool historical things this week. Well,
gosh.
Yesterday was the 60th anniversary of Sputnik, right?
Right. So, yeah, exactly.
No, 60th?
Let's see. That was 1957.
60th
That's
anniversary,
right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing to think
right.
about. Like, wow. To the moon and back.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was... and Elvis. Elvis comes in this week.
And Elvis comes
That's
in
right.
this week.
That's
right.
This is a little fun fact. 1954, Elvis was told by the manager of the Grand Ole Opry after hearing him, yeah, you better go back to truck driving. And he vowed never to play there
Didn't
again.
Know a good thing when he heard it.
No,
well, I
that's
mean,
right.
it was a different thing, right? But Elvis Presley goes to the Grand Ole Opry and performs. It's like Bob Dylan going to Newport and plugging in. It's great, but it's not that venue.
That's
so
why
are you coming here and performing this? Well, it's because I'm doing this new thing.
Getting the right fit. That's where it's
finding
all about.
Your audience.
That's it.
Well, I always feel that way about like stand-up comedians. You know, the really, really famous, like they can fill a stadium stand-up comedians who have these really specific gimmicks or these really very quirky personalities, like an Emo Phillips or like just name anyone with like a really quirky approach, like Mitch Hedberg or go gimmicky with like a Gallagher or a Carrot Top. Like imagine them trying to play with that kind of very, very specific approach to like a room full of 15 random people at an open mic night. 90% of the time, they're not going to hit at all, but it's that 10% of the time, and you just have to find that audience, and that's what Elvis did, not
Steve
at the
Martin
Grand Ole Opry.
Would talk about that, about going in and playing joints that he would be like just dead silence, and he would still do his
routine.
Because
they're not my audience,
no,
right?
No, that's right, and finding your audience. You know, that's like life, and it's so true of history, too, is finding those moments, like we've observed, when personalities and timing come together in a unique way, just like the Constitutional Convention, and remarkable things happen when that occurs.
Yep.
And again, this is one of those fun weeks because of these things. The birthdays that happen on October 2nd include, now get this,
these are a lot.
Spanky McFarlane from Our Gang.
Yes, the Little Rascals.
Little Rascals. Bud Abbott from, of course, the Abbott and Costello. Groucho Marx, Mahatma Gandhi,
right,
and Richard III, who was the subject, of course, of a Shakespearean play, and his remains end up being discovered in 2012 in a parking lot.
In a parking lot,
King of the
right.
parking lot, yep. And then reinterred in 2015 with great acclaim, but... I thought that was pretty good for 1 week.
That was
pretty good
for 1 day, right?
One day.
October 2nd.
Yes. I thought that's kind of makes for a remarkable...
Yeah. Okay, moving ahead to October 3rd.
Nope, that's it.
No, that's it? That's the whole thing? All right, fine.
That's enough. Just reading those names off, that's history.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Well, okay, October 3rd, all right. October 3rd, well, you know, it's funny because in looking at some of the history now, we're having, like, TV programs pop mm-hmm. up as, like, this is part of history because it's part of our common lexicon, like Captain Kangaroo debuts.
Yes.
I was like... What is this now? We're starting to see this being turned over as this is part of our common history now, our cultural history, mm-hmm. are these kinds of things. Also, now everybody who ever has a house and you don't take your shoes off and you have carpets, you'll be very happy to know in 1899 on October 3rd, the vacuum cleaner was first patented.
Yeah.
Of course, that thing, 1899.
Forget not taking your shoes off. I've got two cats. They will wreck your carpets faster without a vacuum cleaner than anyone else.
All right, 1899, there's no electricity. What, he invents it and said, when we have electricity, this will be a great invention?
Well, it's one of those, like, the push-me-pull-you
kind
of thing.
That's right, okay. Well, I did have that moment thinking, what was he thinking?
Well, he did it in, like, New York City or Colorado Springs or whatever that one city was that had electricity for a hot minute before everyone else started getting
it. Well, it's like Bill Gates when he was writing programs and people said, oh, you're going to exceed 640K in memory.
Right.
That will never happen.
No one wants that.
I'm going to write it and somebody's going to figure out a way to address
it. All of the technology that was developed for the internet when the internet was 10 computers in a building communicating
with each other. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of those weeks when Frank Herbert, the author of the Dune series, has a birthday, and he was a futurist. And one of the fascinating quotes I read, that when people ask, well, where did you come up with your ideas? He said he would ask the question, what are we missing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's still a good question.
Yeah.
When you look at almost anything, you go, what are we missing?
Yep.
More hurricanes in the Atlantic? What are we missing
what are we
here?
Missing?
So, all right, so that's, there's another thing about October 3rd, and that's when, and I came across like three or four of these, I couldn't believe it, about Thanksgiving being declared different times. George Washington declares it being the November 26th, the first national holiday. That doesn't stick because, of course, the days change, so FDR... suggests the next to last Thursday from 1939 to 41, and then the fourth Thursday in November starting in 42.
Whatever
President
that
Lincoln
happen to be.
Declares the last Thursday of November. I mean, this is there's still confusion.
Yeah,
we always say, is it the when is Thanksgiving?
FDR is just tinkering. Lincoln's the one who establishes it. It's the last Thursday in November. FDR is like, we can make this better. It's going to be the fourth Thursday. It's going to be the next to last. It's going to be the fourth.
And there was
it's
confusion.
Be, you know what? As soon as it's signed, it's FDR's proclamation.
That's
and then FDR can go down in history as the one who proclaimed Thanksgiving.
And of course, you know, there's not a lot of songs we're singing about Thanksgiving. And so, retailers have seen it beginning of the Christmas season, full blast.
It's getting to be the middle of the Christmas season now.
Yeah,
we're only getting into the start of October.
As soon as Halloween's over,
the Halloween stuff is gone. There you go. And even before, there's Halloween and Christmas gear, side by side fighting each other with one poor turkey over here and a pumpkin, which is just it's a Halloween thing and it's a Thanksgiving thing. So the things that are just sort of general fall. Those last.
Kind of, Well, we have to go outside.
I do think this is a really good strategy for Donald Trump now, too, because FDR doesn't change a thing. thing to Lincoln's proclamation. Like, oh, it's the last Thursday in November. Now we're going to make it the fourth Thursday in November.
Right.
And one out of every 6 or 7 years, it's a little bit different. But then he gets to claim it as his own. Can we just like draw up Obamacare and just hand that to Donald Trump and just scratch out Obama and scribble Trump on top?
I think
see if he'll go along with that.
I think it would work.
Following the FDR model of I'm not going to make any changes, but I'm going to stamp my name onto it just so I can say it's mine.
It might work. Well, let's see. Then we have October 4th. Mm. Now, this was a weird fact. A Russian lookalike agent claims that another lookalike agent is buried in Lee Harvey Oswald's place. Now, I've never heard of this. 1981. And so the body had to be actually exhumed.
Right.
And dental records checked to make sure that, yes, it was Lee Harvey.
But it was, in fact, Lee Harvey
Oswald.
Isn't
that crazy? I'm glad I missed that news in 1981, to be honest. Wasn't exactly excited to see it. But here's another fun fact. 1927, Mount Rushmore, the carving begins on that monumental project, and it's completed in 1941.
Or stopped in 1941.
That's right.
It was supposed to be, we got to go to war now.
Yeah.
Four giant, like, full-size body sculptures,
yes.
Right? And then they got to the bust of the heads and said, you know what? There are other things we could be spending
our
money on.
But, you look
on
at those heads and you go, really? How well, the bodies would be real small. They'd be like, you know, those wobble
those
bones.
Little wobble bobble heads. Yeah. There you go.
So I'm glad somebody said, no, we're stopping
maybe,
it here.
Maybe not.
This
yeah.
is as good as it's going to get. And well, Buster Keaton is born this week. It's kind of amazing, all these comedian people that are born this week.
Groucho Marx, Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
Rutherford B. Hayes was born on October 4th.
Yes, exactly.
Everyone's favorite American president.
Yes. Well, you know, I did not know that he had fought in the Civil War as a Union officer. Mm-hmm. And he was at first opposed to fighting and saying, well, just let these states go. But he actually does join. He does fight. He's wounded 5 times.
Mm.
That's kind of an amazing kind of element to all of that story.
Yeah. And this is the sort of the lost, forgotten presidents of the the post-Lincoln era. But
that's
so
right.
many of them had fought in the Civil War. They were majors or generals or something like that.
That's
sort of how that generation made its name, right?
It influences so much, as we know, of the history going forward. 1864, October 5th, Louis Lumiere is the motion picture pioneer. He's born then, and of course he and his brother developed the motion picture camera and projector.
Yep.
And I did not realize he lived until 1948.
Oh, yeah.
So he really got to see
the great ones.
Oh, my gosh. What an amazing thing to go from silent, you know, hand-cranked to suddenly these talkies. And, that's kind of an incredible kind of legacy to live up to.
He's probably sitting there in 1945 going, they were so much better back in my day.
That's right. Oh, yeah, we can do that special effect. Oh, yeah, that's not a problem.
I am big. It's the pictures
right.
that got
now,
small.
Yeah, and this is another day. October 6, 1927 is when the first major talkie movie, The Jazz Singer, comes out. So Lumiere probably saw that. He said, I could have done that. And in French, you
would
be so
much better.
They only
said like 10 words.
That's right. let's see. What a kind of another fun one.
Well, we had another comedian born on October 5th. You missed one of the Three Stooges there.
Oh, yes.
Larry Fine.
And, you know, Tom Bergeret, who, of course, hosts Dancing with the Stars, tells a wonderful story of he called up Mo Howard in the 1960s when you could do such things.
Right.
And he got it. Oh, no, I guess he called Larry Fine. He just was looking in the phone book, found Larry Fine. And then Larry Fine saying, oh, yeah, and because he was a fan as a teenager of the Three Stooges. So Larry says, would you like to talk with Mo? And he said, oh, well, sure, but it has an unlisted number.
Yeah.
So he gets the number, he calls up, Mo Howard's wife answers, and she says, who is this? And he explains, and so she says, okay, let me get Mo. Mo gets on, he says, yeah, who is this? And he explains, he said, who gave you my number? And he says, Larry, fine. And there's this pause, and he goes, Larry.
Larry getting back at Mo for something from years ago. Oh, that's hilarious.
You got to really appreciate how much humor and comedians have helped us all throughout difficult times to have a better perspective. And that's still true today.
Love it.
And the late night comedians as well.
We got time for a couple more. What do we got for the rest of the week?
Well, of course, the Andy Griffith Show debuts this week, October 3rd, 1960. Another one that's at a local connection, October 4th, 1777, is when Francis Nash, a British Brigadier General of the North Carolina Continental Troops, is mortally wounded. He dies the 7th, but Francis Nash has a local connection in Hillsborough. He's actually there during the Regulator movement. He's dashing, he's charming, he's good-looking. In fact, evidence shows that he actually, in addition to his lovely wife and daughters, he had another family.
Okay.
Well, Ruth Jackson, a barmaid there in Hillsborough, and he had a couple of sons by him. But he actually is responsible for helping defend George Washington's retreat from Germantown, and had he and the fierce North Carolina troops not done that, there is some evidence to suggest that George Washington might have been captured, and that might have changed a lot of things. But Francis Nash, his home is still there in Hillsborough. It's where William Hooper buys it after or during the Revolutionary War, and it's still there today. You can go see it two doors down from the Orange County Historical Museum. So there's my little pitch for Hillsborough and visiting this great city. But Francis Nash is really one of those unheralded heroes. There was a monument at the Battle of Guilford County Courthouse Battlefield. It was a giant arch erected in 1902 because money was set aside by the Continental Congress to honor this fella. But then the cars got a little bit bigger, the roads got a little bit wider, and people kept bumping into the arch. They had to finally take it down.
Awesome.
There's history. It just shows that history matters.
Let me just say one more.
October 5th is 1751 is when James Iredell was born in Durham. We're going to be talking about the Durham Public Library System is sponsoring.
Yeah, plug this.
The Constitution. If you've never read it, it's great literature. This is more than just about our government and our playbook. It's really these great ideas that illuminate our lives and the rest of the world sees as a beacon of hope. And next week I'll be doing a presentation on Thursday, October 12th at the Durham Arts Council Theater. So if people want to know about the North Carolina connection to the constitutional history and the incredible story behind it, come on by. It's going to be really great. You can look it up online, Durham Reads Together. But James Iredell is a person who is very instrumental in the debate about ratifying the Constitution. And so we just kind of tip of the hat to him and to Durham County Public Library. What would we be without our public library systems?
Awesome. All right. So, again, that's next week, the 12th, next week, Thursday at 6:30. Head to the Durham Arts Council and check that out. Scott Washington, another great round of History Matters.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
How much fun. Thank you, Aaron.